Hi everyone, and welcome to our next episode of the Small Business Stories. And I'm delighted today to have Ken Kilday on my show as our guest. And Ken is from Leaders Cut. So welcome, Ken, to the show. Could you just start off by telling us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thank you so much, Elizabeth. I am Ken Kilday, as you said, from Leaders Cut. The long version of that is the Ken Kilday Coaching Experience. I'm an executive coach and a business strategist, and fashion myself a bit of a LinkedIn expert. And what I do is I work with leaders and owners of businesses to do what I call unlocking their leadership genius to build independent, accountable teams.
Oh, very interesting. Oh, I think we've got a lot to delve in there. I like that you're a LinkedIn expert, so we'll probably delve into that as well through the interview. Obviously, how long have you been in business for, Ken?
My business, this is year number four. So prior to that, I was in corporate America, as they say. I was a Fortune 500 executive leader in financial services and have been in financial services for almost 20 years. But what I came to find was there were a great many ways I could have been an even more effective leader. And a lot of the ways I performed was trials and tribulations, did some things that worked and did some things that didn't. And when I left that environment, I thought, boy, it sure would be nice if somebody had a method to get the most out of themselves and therefore their whole teams, rather than just trying this and trying that. So that's how I came to form a coaching business, because that development aspect of building performing teams, that was the part that I loved most. When people would start to get that aha, they could actually be more of themselves and get more enjoyment and more from the whole team.
Yeah. And so was there a single catalyst that made you stop working in corporate America to start your own business? Or was it a desire over a period of time?
Yeah, it was a desire over a period of time that culminated in, you know, I was working for a great company in the best role I'd ever had for one of the more difficult humans I'd ever worked for. So it was a combination of how could something I loved doing be so difficult?
Yeah.
And that was more of, okay, I'm going to move on. But it was a few months after that interviewing for other executive positions where I thought, you know, maybe it's time that I just did my thing. Yeah. And I'm not going to be one of those. And I never looked back. Look, you know, starting your own business is never, it's never for the faint of heart. And there are some good days and there are some tough days. So I love that I did it, and I love that I have it, and I don't intend to be an employee again. That said, it has been what it is for a lot of people, especially moving through COVID, not so easy on some days.
Yeah, I think we touch a lot about this on the show, and because obviously this show is hopefully helping to inspire people who are thinking about taking that road onto entrepreneurship, you know, just to give realistic expectations of what it's like to go out on that road. So I've got a very similar story to yours of why I did that. And so what was it like for you with the realization when you stopped working a corporate environment, getting the salary, and then working for yourself? Because that's the question I'm always asked. Oh, what is that like? And what tips would you give to someone who's thinking about that?
Yeah. First, it was terrifying because I had a paycheck for decades from one person or another. But, you know, it was when I formed the LLC and knew that I wasn't going to accept employment. That was the real, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this on my own. But I'll tell you, the joy came with that first client. I've been blessed in that I've always had clients.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many as I would have loved to have, but I've always had a few clients at least. So that was pretty amazing. It was terrifying and amazing. And, you know, I'm in a great position. I think like a lot of people, I have a spouse who does have a paycheck and therefore has benefits. So that gave us a little bit of a net. And I'm a chronic saver. I've been a certified financial planner for a long time. So I had a little kitty. And I learned from other entrepreneurs who said, you know, be judicious about how you invest in the business. Get the big things right first. You know, you don't need your logo on the polo on day one. That can wait a while.
And did it take you a long time? And as you've just alluded to, with COVID has now been in the middle of that, and we'll talk about that in a minute, actually. But did it take you a long time to feel settled that it was finally, I'm not saying the right thing to do, because you know it's been the right thing to do. But so, for example, when I started, I did work for 6 months while we set up the brand. But then, see, I had that feeling exactly the same as you. Oh my God, I'm not going to get a paycheck anymore. So it probably took 6 months to a year for me to finally feel settled in terms of my clients, you know, we're on the right track. So, and in that time, it obviously can be a very anxious time. So how long has it been for you, to get to that feeling?
Oh, I think it was the first year in particular as I got my rhythm for coaching. And maybe the year after that, where we got started to get really formal working again with other marketing professionals who, I shouldn't say other, working with marketing professionals that can help me articulate a lot clearer what it was I was doing. I would say if there's anything of boy, there's plenty of advice on that's available in channels like this one that will help you get really clear. So when someone says, "So what do?" And you kind of freeze for a minute. Oh, how do I describe this in a short, pithy way? Yeah. So I'd say into the second year is where I really felt like I was trucking along pretty good.
Okay. And so what has been the most benefit to you by running your own business?
For sure, getting to take the right amount of time with people that actually want to do the work. You know, it's so business coaching is so analogous to wellness coaching. You know, in wellness coaching, you can hire somebody who will write the perfect program and tell you exactly how to get lean and fit and strong and win whatever thing you're competing in. But if you don't go to the gym, don't lift up the barbell, don't eat correctly, it's just not going to work. And business coaching is that way too, is I can help people with tools. If they don't do it, they're not going to get a result, which is to say the result, they own it. I mean, they absolutely own all their successes. So the joy for me has been to watch people understand the answer was there the whole time. I'm standing there helping them understand what they're doing that's awesome and anchor that down. And then the kind of the little things that are getting in their way that they just didn't realize that's what was getting in their way. So watching them come into their own is the best of all. And I get to choose those amazing people where, you know, in corporate life, you don't get to do that. You take the people the company says you take to work with.
And talking about business coaching, because it is a discussion I have with lots of business owners about having a business coach in your business, because obviously it is the done thing to do nowadays. It wasn't maybe so much when I first started my business, but it's definitely spoken about as the norm in a person's business if you're really serious about growing. So what there can be some really expensive business coaches out there, and sometimes you have to sign up to quite a big package, and do you know if it's going to work? So what would be your tips if someone was coming to you as a potential client? What do you do so they can ensure that it's the right person to work with you?
The way I handle the initial conversation is, first of all, I make it as easy as it can be to schedule just a 15-minute just to see if we even click. So first things first, like, do we even click? Because there's either chemistry or there's not. You know, you and I haven't known each other very long, but we kind of have a sense we're already doing just fine. That's step one. Step two is I offer, and I think a lot of people do and should, in my opinion, I do a 90-minute breakthrough strategy session. Start to finish, I profile the potential client. I show them the whole system. We talk a lot about what they'd like to accomplish. So when they walk away, they have a little bit of insight about themselves. They have a couple of my tools that they can use to get down on paper all that wonderful genius that's locked into their head, get it written down so other people could interact with it. And they're going to know, do they want a coach and am I that coach? And then it's a matter of, do they want to go month to month, or would they like to do a package? I tell them all the same thing. In coaching, the results are 5 to 8 times ROI on the fee they pay. My clients that have been with me longest get more like 10x. That's because they're doing the work. And the other part is most people will start with 6 months, and nearly all of them renew. Unless they had a very specific thing we were tackling in a short amount of time, they go on for longer. So that's how you do. You get in there, ask the questions, kick the tires, and trust your gut. If you don't enjoy the conversation, you're not going to like the coaching any better.
So over at you said that you've been in business sort of 4 years, and as we've mentioned earlier, we've just well, we're hopefully we're coming out the other side of COVID, hopefully eventually. Has the business, so you've now lived through it and as a new business owner, so it was probably quite terrifying for you. So have you seen that the business issues have changed because of what we've just been through, or are they essentially the same for the people that you're dealing with?
Both of those things are true at the same time. It's really brought to the surface things that were festering, if you will. Some things that we weren't very disciplined about, like hiring. They already didn't, if the client already didn't have a great strategic plan, if you will, they didn't have a way of getting people in the door, hired and trained and motivated and loving them, then COVID made it 10 times worse for them. But everybody's having a hard time finding people. And I mean, I have clients around the world and they're having a hard time finding people, all for really different reasons. The other part where I know that I've helped my clients is I've had, we used to call them distributed teams. So, wherever my office was, I always had teams in other cities around the country and have for over a decade. My last assignment in corporate America was to design an entire experience around financial planning like this. We called it digitally, right? So that we saw the client on a camera, we could share screens, we had all the technical stuff and the human element. So going into it, going into COVID, I was already running my business that way. I have local clients, but I also have clients in Hong Kong. So, I can do either. In that sense, I was a strong support for clients that weren't used to having employees working from home, but could. We've had to manage both the human emotion of it all and then the government, whether that's our city, our county, our state, responses to it all. Because my clients are in different places, they're living through different rules and regulations and such, and that's been hard on them too.
Okay, so that leads us on to the not quite nicely onto the next question. So, what has been the biggest challenge in running your business in your 4 years, and how did you solve that?
I think this is true for a lot of people. It's keeping a continuous flow of prospective clients for my services, and there's certain business I'm not essential, air quotes, right? So a lot of people, when COVID hit, a good number of my clients paused me. Like, hey, this is the time I would love to coach. They saw it as a luxury rather than as an essential. In terms of solving it, I got in there and worked as hard as I could with the clients that kept me on the whole way. And so now we have some information, now we have a track record rather in terms of solving it. So when people say, hey, I'd love to, but I just can't do it right now. And I'll say, look, here's a couple of case studies of people that I was the investment that was part of making sure they made it through COVID. And they did. And they did, and then some. But yeah, it's by the seat of my pants and buckled in as tight as I could be that you asked me, how did I get through it? I got through it by getting in this office every single day. I didn't go watch Netflix or anything else. I didn't watch any streaming in the middle of my workday. I kept my work habits the whole way through.
And did it take you a long time to recover from it? I mean, because so here, well, in my business, because my actual business, I run a VA agency. So it really, for us, it was quite lucky. Obviously, we lost a few clients in those first 3 months as it really started to hit. But then thankfully by the end of the year, we were sort of back up and running to full strength, thank God. So was that the same for you? Because then as people realize that you've got to keep going, but just change the way that you work.
Yes, it was a very slow summer as people were frightened and unsure and not sure what to do with all that information we were getting or not getting in some cases. And I would say by the fall, they're like, well, you know what? I got to do something. I can't just sit here, right? Yeah. And so by the end of the year, people were plotting and planning. And so that made 2021 a much stronger year, especially as people, I did a lot of work with people coming back into the organization. They had hired people and never met in person, managing those relationships, all in the process of, okay, you know, the business structure of who's in charge of what, who's in what seat, who's doing what, and getting clear about those expectations.
That's good to know. So obviously you talked about in your introduction about LinkedIn. So my next question is, how would you normally advertise and market your business? So I presume LinkedIn is a big one for you.
LinkedIn is huge for me. I joined LinkedIn in 2003, about 5 months after it was founded. So of the 756 million users, I'm member number 30,467. Yeah. So my first connection didn't come till the next year, because in the old days, say, we used to have to tell people what it was, tell people why they wanted, help them get to the internet, which wasn't as familiar to everybody as, you know, it is now, and on and on. You know, LinkedIn is one of many things that I do to stay present, to stay connected, to look for other connections. So here's what I'll tell you. You know, your quick tip is you don't want that to be benign neglect. A lot of people do sort of that empty silhouette on LinkedIn or maybe a picture from 10 years ago and they don't complete a profile. Here's my tip. Either be there or don't. You don't want a potential future perfect client to go vet and verify you and then find an empty, almost neglected profile that doesn't look very good. So either do it or don't do it. But the first step is get that whole profile all filled out. Make it look good. It's free real estate. Use it. Absolutely use it. So that's the quick tip.
And has that been the main way that you've built your business, or do you do any other type of marketing activities that have really helped you grow your business?
Referrals helped, of course. When I've used all the social channels, I've used Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn to build the business. But the initial launch, a lot of my first clients were clients that that have known me for decades in financial services. And like I said, because I had teams all over the country, the easiest way to let them know I was starting a business was LinkedIn and to a lesser degree, Facebook, Instagram. So, you know, it's too simple to say they came out of LinkedIn or didn't, or they were referrals or weren't. It was, how do I let everyone know what I'm up to? And I use those channels. I still to this day, through regular posting and blogging, newsletters, get calls from, you know, gosh, it's been 10 years since we talked and I saw your newsletter. I'm realizing that's what I need right now. People that know, but I'm still staying around by staying relevant and giving them information that they need at just that right moment.
Yeah, good. Okay. And so I'm coming on to our final question. And it's really interesting when I ask this question, because I get a very varied number of answers and quite surprising even from business coaches. So I think I know what you're going to say, but you could surprise me. So my final question I always ask everyone is, what are your goals in your business? So obviously, are they short, medium and long term, or what are they? So some people say they don't have any. I imagine you're going to tell me that you do.
I do. So I do have goals for my business in terms of how many coaching clients I want. But the bigger goal for me is to make sure that every single person that I work with, more of a mission, the whole reason I say unlock leadership genius is what gets in most business people's way is they try to do their business someone else's way. Yeah. And so my mission, my vision, my purpose is to help every single business owner that I work with know that their way is the right way for their business, right? because nobody wants to go to someplace like Starbucks if they can go to Starbucks. So I'm helping people unlock what is special and unique about them. The goal for the year is to bring on, and not all at once, I can't do this all at once, but to bring on 15 additional clients would about max me out. And again, I could take them on, like if 15 people called today, I can't take 15 all at once. I have to slowly move them in through the process. You know how it works. Because I want them to have an amazing, my goal is, in terms of their experience, is to make sure they think, wow, I could not have done that without Ken. But the reality is, as soon as you had the information, you did all the work. That's the partnership that I look to build.
Oh, good. No, that sounds exciting. So I think it sounds like you're saying you're very much your brand, obviously. You will get to a certain growth level, and so it can still be you. Is that have I understood that correctly?
It is, you know what? It's funny. The whole branding emanated from market research we did of clients and people that have known me and worked with me for years. That's why it's branded the way it's branded. So for everyone who says, you want to get your own name out of a brand, it's a lot of the people that worked with me, they saw how I coach as the brand. That said, in future years, we have, the people that I use to advise me in the things I'm not an expert in, like marketing. We know we have built an infrastructure. So as people, as executives, maybe just like me, retire out of businesses but still want to be in the people development component, they could easily work under the Leaders Cut umbrella without my name underneath it. So we've built the infrastructure to that. In the coming years, by next year, I would like to have one, if not two, coaches that are independent coaches that are working under the umbrella. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
I always get to the end of this, and then I just ask you one surprise question, and you're not quite prepared for, but hopefully it's not too hard. So obviously the podcast is aimed at people who are out, just coming out, thinking, "Oh, I think I'd like to branch out on my own, start my own business," or they've just started out. So we just want to be able to give them that this is a great journey to be on. It's exciting. It is terrifying at the same time, but it's exciting when it really sort of comes off. So what would be your biggest tip for anyone who's just starting out or just thinking of starting out or just on the first few months of their road?
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you is nobody gets to the end of life regretting something they did. It's more about what they didn't do, what they didn't take a chance at. And the advice I took early on that I got from a coach early on, I asked the what would you do different question. And he said, well, instead of wading into the kiddie end of the pool, I would have just jumped in. I would have just done it, right? Just go do it. Trusted myself more. So my advice to everybody is trust yourself. Deep in you know you're on the right track. You know you're doing the right thing. You know this is what you want. There's lots of analogies, burn the boats, et cetera, but go all in and you will figure it out much quicker. If it's just a part-time thing, then you always have an excuse not to go all in. So go all in, trust yourself and do your thing.
Thank you, Ken. I think that's a great message to finish the podcast on, because I do think you do need to do that. If you're trying to do it half-heartedly, it doesn't work, and then you won't make your business a success. So thank you, Ken, for being a guest on our show today. So if you would like to come and meet like-minded business owners who are just starting out on the road, please come over to startupcircle.co.uk. This is a subscription where you can access lots of resources to help you grow your business. You will also have access to some grant funding opportunities to help your business grow and finance your business. There's loads of training resources. You will have access to me once a month, and we will then grow together to join to grow our businesses together. So, please come over and have a look in the website. So, thank you, Ken, so much for being a great guest on our show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.